Welcome to Aware. We are dedicated to communicating information that inspires your positive growth and change. Are you interested in a peaceful planet? Are you interested in optimal health? Are you living with purpose? Are you enjoying your life? We realize each person can make a difference, and our mission is to empower your awareness. The choices that you make in every moment shape your life, and we encourage you to realize that you have your own answers and to always listen to your own truth. We invite you to stay aware. Hello, welcome to The Aware Show. I am Lisa Garr, and it's a true joy and a pleasure to be here with you today, communicating information that inspires our positive growth and change. Thank you so much for joining me. Joining me today is a pioneer in the health industry. She is known as the First Lady of Nutrition, and she brought us such great concepts as the Fat Flush Diet, the Fat Flush Plan, Before the Change, so many great books that really were even before the whole paleo and keto diet industries got to be the way they are now. Anne Louise Gittleman has been speaking with us about health and diet and environmental health and women's health issues for 30 books, basically. Mm-hmm. And her latest one is called Radical Metabolism. So now when Anne Louise speaks, I listen, because you know the underneath of every health issue out there. Welcome to the show, Anne Louise.
Welcome to you. It's so nice to speak to you, Lisa Garr. I love hearing your voice.
Wow, you too. I remember the cranberry diet. It wasn't the diet, but it was drinking cranberry juice was great for cutting fat. How big of a splash was that back in the day?
big splash back in the day, and so many of my followers are still doing that fat flush water. That's what we call the cran water, and it's remarkable for cleaning out the lymph and getting rid of cellulite. Nothing works like that in 2 weeks.
Fat flush water. It's cranberry juice. What else is in there?
It's 1 ounce of unsweetened cranberry juice to 7 ounces of water. And if you take 8 glasses of that a day, you've got about 64 ounces. It's terrific.
Amazing. That'll cut through. So this brings us to the whole idea of metabolism. And your new book, Radical Metabolism, really addresses the gallbladder, right?
As well as some of the other favorite organs. Yes, it's not a throwaway organ. It shouldn't be a member of the throwaway organ club like the appendix, for heaven's sakes. I make that very clear, but you're very correct, Lisa.
There are so many people that are having their gallbladders removed, and I have always, I've interviewed people for 18 years on this topic of health, and I've always had this incredible respect for the human body. And if we have an organ, it probably has a function. Very few don't, and I can understand if the appendix bursts and it becomes toxic, but I worry about things like gallbladders and thyroids, and they are being taken out, yeah.
And I wonder, too, which is one of the reasons I wrote the book, because we see so many women not have their gallbladders anymore. And what I discovered is that you definitely need what the gallbladder does, which is trigger the secretion of bile from the gallbladder. That's what your body is designed to do. And when you no longer have a gallbladder that actually gives you that timed secretion of bile, you have to substitute with support for that bile and support for the missing gallbladder. So that's one of the aspects of the book. For those of you that are fat, over 40, or 40 and fatigued and don't have a gallbladder, this is the book for you. It's Radical Metabolism. But there are many of us that have conditions which are a little bit below the radar, so to speak, and we have sluggish bile and suboptimal bile flow, which then slows down your thyroid, believe it or not, and you've got all kinds of symptoms which seem seemingly disrelated, like fatigue, dry skin and constipation, dizziness, bloatingness, as well as weight gain. So the real benefit of writing the book for me was to discover that there is this holy alliance between the thyroid and the gallbladder, or a missing gallbladder. And that's where the book comes in handy, with the right kind of fats, the right kind of support for a sluggish or missing gallbladder, as well as the right kind of bitters to trigger digestion and help your body break down fats, flush toxins, and rev thyroid function.
Is that the function of the gallbladder, is to break down fats?
Yes. Well, the function of the gallbladder is to do a time release of bile when you eat a fatty meal. And so when you don't have that timed release, you don't have the adequate breaking down of fats, which means you may not be getting everything out of the fats you need to. So it means when the fat is not being broken down, it starts being stored in the cells. And then in terms of the thyroid doesn't get the building blocks it needs, because when bile is released to break down those dietary fats, there's an enzyme that's produced in the thyroid, which activates it to convert the inactive thyroid hormone into active thyroid hormone, T3. So that's a very big deal. If your body doesn't have enough bile to break down the fats, those fats end up getting stored, and then the pounds just creep onto your frame.
So it's an enzyme. Bile is an enzyme. It's a that breaks things down?
No. Bile itself is that digestive liquid that is stored in the gallbladder, and it's formed in the liver but stored in the gallbladder.
I kind of want to find out, what is bile?
Well, do you want me to tell you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we're trying to make bile sexy is really what it is. We're going to tell people to bring back bile, just the way probiotics, and you and I know that one very well, has really come into the forefront today. We want to make bile just as sexy. I think it's the forgotten switch, because the benefits go beyond just weight loss that I talk about. Once we get bile flowing again or have sufficient digestive support as well as swaps for it, everything seems to come into balance. You're not just going to break down your fats the way the bile is designed to do. You're going to deal with a lot of other metabolic issues that are affecting women and men in this day and age, whether that is the decrease of the head and body pains and mental clarity. Weight loss is certainly one issue. And then a lot of individuals are also finding that they're much more energetic when their bile is working properly.
So it causes all these different functions to happen. But when the gallbladder is not working correctly, how do you feel and why do they take it out?
Well, sometimes we get the buildup of stones, which can be the congealed bile, and you can actually break down those stones if you have enough of the right ingredients, whether that's lecithin, choline, or taurine, as well as enough bitter foods in the diet. You see, we've come so far in terms of diet that nobody has remembered that we have the inclusion of a bitter receptor site on the tongue, so you need actually the taste of bitter for digestion. And so if you think about it, what are the bitter foods you had today, Lisa Gar? Can you think of one?
I had bitter kale, yes, this morning.
You are the exception to the rule, my dear. Very good.
I love kale, though. It's my friend.
But many people don't. And so the idea here is that if we can include bitters in your breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, as well as your Angostura bitters in your cocktail, then you do not gain weight, because digestive juices become flowing again, you flush out toxins, and in so doing, you can rev thyroid function, so you can slim without struggling.
Did you just say bitters in your cocktail are okay?
You betcha.
You sure did, didn't you?
I sure did. Those Angostura bitters, bring them on.
All right. Bitters, what are they? Other than green leafy vegetables that can be bitter, like kale and so forth, what else is bitter?
Well, one thing that we discovered, which I think is really phenomenally interesting and very helpful for people, is that you have the lemon peels, which are bitter. Lemon peels and orange peels, which are so beneficial to regenerate the inside of the digestion, the digestive lining, so to speak. So you've got your bitter herbs, and the bitter herbs might include thyme, for example. Ginger is considered a bitter. Dandelion root is another bitter. Gentian root, angelica, all of those are known as herbal bitters. And then you've got your bitter greens, and my favorite is none other than watercress. Have you had your watercress lately?
Watercress, no, but dandelions are making a comeback. People are saying, don't weed your yard, eat your yard.
That's very
if
cute.
There's no pesticides and so forth, but those dandelions have a lot of great properties to them.
They do. They're a very gentle cleansing agent for the liver, number one. They comprise part of my energy blast or drink in the morning if you're not a coffee drinker, because coffee is an all-time bitter, believe it or not, as is chocolate.
Yay. Without the cream and the sugar.
Yeah, yeah. We've got all that. We do a little coconut milk. We make believe that's cream.
That's what
you can
I
have
do.
Some coconut oil. It's just lovely.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what I do. Coconut milk and the coconut oil. Okay, so can you explain the link between the gallbladder and the thyroid issues?
Well, that link is that when you've got sluggish bile because you're not producing enough quality free-flowing bile, then it will slow down the thyroid because of that connection between the secretion of bile and the transformation of T4 into T3. And it was discovered, interestingly enough, in Finland, where they found that people that had reduced bile flow were 7 times more likely to suffer from hypothyroidism. So just think about it. Individuals that have reduced bile flow are usually those individuals that have had their gallbladder out because there's no longer that time secretion of this wonderful digestive fluid known as bile. And when I read that interesting research, I started asking all of my functional medicine doctor friends if they're seeing a slowdown in metabolism when people have their gallbladder out. And a few of them said, you know, come to think of it, they have many clients, many women, for example, over the age of 40 that have had their gallbladder out and now have hypothyroidism or even Hashimoto. So I thought to myself, wow, there's something there. Bile then plays a very powerful role in the body's ability to slim because of that connection.
How would we know if we're producing enough bile? What does that look like?
You would know with all of these types of symptoms. You'd have sometimes pain between the shoulder blades or under the rib cage. You'd have most likely gray or very light-colored stools, which are completely abnormal. Sometimes bloating, especially after a fatty meal. Maybe a little middle-of-the-night sleep disturbances, because the gallbladder meridian plays a role in all of these symptoms.
Where is the meridian? Is it between the shoulder blades?
It comes up between the shoulder blades, goes down near, right near your ear, near the shoulder, goes all the way down your leg. It's one of the longest meridians in the body, and it's the one that most acupuncturists treat most often.
Interesting. Oh, very interesting.
And, you know, the other thing that I discovered that I need to share with you, because I think you'll find this fascinating the way I did, is that oftentimes there are problems with hearing that they're now connecting with a gunked up or clogged or congested gallbladder meridian.
My goodness, congested gallbladder meridian. Okay,
let's talk. Who would have thought it, huh? Who would have thunk it?
Well, let's definitely talk about some solutions around this. So we see the link. Is acupuncture a good idea in addition to what else?
I love acupuncture for those that live in Los Angeles, where you've got your pick of the best acupuncturists in the world, perhaps.
Yeah.
Well, there's an awful lot that you need to do. You've got to think about optimizing your bile flow, because that'll revitalize the thyroid, and that in turn will fire up your fat burn and rev energy for a radical metabolism. So I think it kind of all goes together. So the first thing that I tell people to do is really to detox their bile. You want to make sure that the bile is very thinned and fluid, because it's also a detox method where there's a lot of heavy metals, sometimes hormones, all of that gets stuck and thrown into the bile. So you want to decongest your bile, no matter what diet you follow.
So but a detox type of diet. So go after a detox. What's your favorite other than the cranberry?
Other than radical metabolism is fat flush, because it's very helpful to detox your liver and your gallbladder, and if you don't have one, certainly to produce bile.
That's the 1 ounce cranberry unsweetened with the 7 ounces water.
Yeah.
Seven times a day.
Yes, very delicious, very, very good to get rid of cellulite. I'll say that again, because there's nothing like it, and I've seen that for 20 years.
Now, okay, let me just ask you. You're saying to optimize bile flow and to detox your bile. Where is the bile produced other than?
The liver. It's in the liver.
I mean, do you find out if you have enough bile by spitting? I mean, how do you know?
Well, there's some blood tests that you can use, quite honestly, and there's some very intricate tests that you can take where they can find out if you're actually secreting bile, if you're dumping properly. But there's a test known as the GGT, which in alignment with some of your elevated liver enzymes could show a problem with the bile. But quite frankly, most people just take our quiz that we have in the book and figure it out for themselves.
Ah, let's go through a little bit of the bile quiz. Do you mind? I would love it.
There's a little quiz coming your way, yes. And this will show whether or not there's a real problem with inadequate bile flow, congested or congealed bile. It's got all of those things connected to it. So are you ready for the symptoms?
Yes.
You'll be surprised. So is your metabolism faulting, or is it failing under too much or too little of the wrong kind of bile? So metabolism seems to have slowed since turning 40.
Yes.
You've got some insulin resistance. You're hungry nearly all the time. You need snacks like coffee or candy, maybe throughout the day. You've got constant middle-of-the-night awakenings. You've got food allergies or major food intolerances. You've started a high-fat keto or primal or paleo diet, and you're not losing weight the way that you should, and you're becoming poochy and puffy. You've got a history of gallstones or gallbladder surgery, or you've got nausea, heartburn, burping, reflux, gas, bloating, or other digestive symptoms, and that's just for starters.
Gotcha. Okay. And so if people are starting to identify with this, we're going after detoxing the bile flow. Okay.
We're detoxing the quality of the bile, so it's thinned out.
Okay,
you want it to be thin and free-flowing, not congealed and congested. Because one thing that is important, and that I write about in the book, Lisa, that I think it's important for your listeners to know, that as we age, there are everyday toxins that build up in the body, and they can become trapped in bile. So that makes the bile very thick and unable to flow freely. It's like sludge getting mixed up with dish detergent.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. So now, this is directly related to our thyroid because bile runs through the thyroid?
No, it's because dietary fats supply the body with raw materials that are needed to produce active thyroid hormones. It's really in the breakdown of the proper dietary fats.
Gotcha, which is the gallbladders.
Right, and a lot of people are not breaking down their fats properly. They're overeating fats, especially some of the what I consider the excessive amounts of coconut oil here or there, MCT oil, not essential fatty acids that are so critical to this type of triggering of metabolism.
Let's talk about that and the keto diet and essential fatty acids. You're saying that people, because of the keto diet, because of all this push for a high-fat diet, are getting too much fat?
No, it's not even a matter of getting too much fat. I think that our metabolism is based, or our bodies should be running on fat. In other words, we're built to run on fat, not sugar. But I think what's happening is people are not breaking down all the fat. That's where the issue is. So it's not just what you're eating, it's what you're digesting and assimilating. And we know that from Nutrition 101.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Does protein metabolize into sugar or fat, or is it just a clean source of amino acids?
Well, there's a lot of controversy about that. From my experience with working over the past 30 to 35 years plus, I just find that individuals need a moderate amount of protein. Too much is too much of a good thing whereby they can get problems with the kidneys.
People
aren't digesting protein or having elevated protein levels in the blood any place above the number 7.2 where they need more bitters to help digest the protein to start the secretion of digestive fluids.
How much is that? And could you tell if you're dehydrated that you're eating too much protein?
A lot of people become dehydrated on a high protein diet. There's no question. That's why you lose weight so quickly.
Oh, that makes sense. And how much is a moderate amount of protein?
Well, that's so individual. I like 20 grams of protein per meal.
20 per meal? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I find that my individuals with a slowdown metabolism, because protein also enhances metabolism. By 25%. So so that may be a smoothie in the morning. It may be 4 ounces of chicken, fish, or turkey, or even hemp foo for lunch.
I was going to ask you what kind of protein.
Well, it can be either animal or plant. I mean, it's up to you. This is a program that is vegan friendly. It's carnivore friendly. It's flexitarian friendly. You name it, you can do radical metabolism.
Flexitarian. I have not heard that term, but I know some. Okay, so what are some of the, you mentioned that too much of a coconut oil or different types of fats are not a good thing. What are some of the forbidden fats?
Well, the forbidden fats in our program are any of the hydrogenated fats.
Right.
You know, those are that are altered, that are unrefined, that are filled with GMOs. We don't like any of the chemicalized commercial fats out there, the corn oil, the mazolas. I certainly like coconut oil. It's digested much more easily than other fats, but it's not a source of the essential fatty acids that you mentioned, which are so critical for the operation on the cell-to-cell, day-to-day basis of every tissue, hormone, cell, and organ of your body.
Okay, so we have the high-fat diet is okay, but not as great as just all things in moderation, right?
Well, the high-fat diet for a lot of people, when you're talking about keto, can be miraculous for many people. It's very helpful to control epilepsy symptoms, very helpful for diabetes. It's helpful for so many issues. You know, I'd be remiss to not acknowledge that. What I'm saying is that not everybody can digest very high fat. You've got to shore up your gallbladder, your thyroid, your liver, your lack of a gallbladder. And that's what you do with radical metabolism.
Okay. Now, you mentioned in the book, Radical Metabolism, there are five radical rules. What are they? Yes. Tell me what they are.
We'll get really radical.
Okay.
Well, the number one rule is to revamp your fats. So I introduce fats that most people have never heard of in revamping your fats, and that's where the good omega-6s come into play, one of the essential fatty acids. And my favorite new omega-6 is one that is really taking the United States by storm, and that is hemp seed oil.
Yes, it has. It has for a little while now.
You think of CBD oil, and now you can take this in your salads and drizzle it on your fruits and your vegetables if you'd like. And that's where the omega-6 hemp seed oil is so helpful.
Is there a difference between CBD and hemp?
Yeah, one of them is much less THC. It's got a different biochemical assay.
That's hemp, right?
Hemp is much more mild, yes, and you'll find nothing in there that could be misconstrued by anybody if you were to undergo any kind of testing. And it's also the kind of oil that you can use topically, internally, very good for the skin. Most specifically, it's terrific for the skin, so that when you lose weight on radical metabolism, your skin remains taut, tight, and toned.
Oh, great. Very interesting. Okay, so that's the radical rule one, revamp your fats. Hemp seed oil is your fave. Okay.
But there's another one, too. And that is one that nobody else has ever heard of. Probably you may have. It's the pine nut oil. Have you ever heard of that one?
No, but I love pine nuts. Love them.
Well, the pine nut oil is absolutely delightful, fragrant and sweet and just out of this world. So the good thing about pine nut oil is this. It's a little pricey, but you just need one bottle to kind of tone your entire digestive tract. It heals adhesions. It heals corrosion. It heals irritation. It can heal any kind of GERD issue in terms of your esophageal problems that you may have. Very healing for ulcers as well, for SIBO and any kind of small intestine or large intestine inflammation. One teaspoon, just three times a day, 20 minutes before meals, has had remarkable results for 3 weeks among my clients.
That's interesting. Now, if you toast the pine nuts at all and put them on a salad, does that change the structure of the fat?
Well, you can't do it under high heat, so at least 250, I think it's just fine.
Okay, because they do create their own oil, too, I put them on my kale salads.
Oh, they're just totally lovely, especially if they're organic.
Yes. I mean, I was raised on a Mediterranean diet by a grandmother who cooked traditional Lebanese food.
Pine nuts in everything. How wonderful.
I know. Radical rule number two, restore your gallbladder.
Yeah, so this is where the whole program of detoxifying your bile, building better bile comes into play with the bitters that we talked about, with certain supplements, herbal tonics, and foods that you can find already in your freezer, refrigerator, or pantry. And that's where bitters come into play so predominantly, because one of our breakfast foods is a special drink that everybody makes using 8 ounces of organic, mold-free, high antioxidant coffee.
Ooh, interesting. Where do you get that? There's many places, but do you have one of your favorites?
Would you like the brand that I suggest?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Purity. It's Purity. And I did some research when I was reading and writing about all of this. You know, I have never been a coffee drinker. I will admit it. I've just never been a coffee drinker. However, I started seeing all the research about the miraculous things that coffee did for the body, and I said, I have to take a look at this. There's something going on here. Well, what I learned is that there's a high amount of a certain substance which is very important to rev fat burn. It's known as chlorogenic acid. And it's really the food lover's secret to becoming slim and trim for life. It's amazing what the research has said, primarily that those individuals that make coffee a daily habit have a much lower risk of muscle loss, number one, and we all lose muscle, you know, as we mm-hmm. age over the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also important to note that this was very important to lower aches and pains and the risk of stroke and anxiety and cholesterol levels and even brain fog. So I felt that I needed to add this to the program, to the book, and I make a coffee drink, which is known as the Energy Blaster.
And what's in it?
8 ounces of coffee, and if you're not a coffee drinker, although this is the best source of bitters and chlorogenic acid that I know of, you can substitute dandy
yes.
tea.
Dandelion tea, yes, it's great.
Yeah, we love it. And then you're going to have a scoop of a whey protein, a healthy variety of whey protein made from A2 non-mutated casein milk, which gives it the protein so that you have protein in the morning. I'm kind of a big believer in that with my women that can't lose weight. I find that it really sets your metabolism steady for the rest of the day.
Is that the same thing as undenatured whey?
Well, undenatured whey can be made from the A1 or the A2 milk. You want to really look for A2.
Okay. A2 is the type of milk, or I'm not...
A2 is the variety of milk, yes, that you can find in terms of the whey protein powders.
Okay, great to know. Okay.
And I give you some brand names of those that I use myself. There may be others out there, but these are the ones that I'm most aware of. And then we've got your little bit of coconut milk, maybe 1 or 2 tablespoons for a little splash, maybe a little stevia if you'd like, some cardamom, some nutmeg, some cinnamon, and voila. You've got an energy drink, but one of the areas that is so interesting and the ingredients that I've added to this is the use of powdered bitters, where you make your own bitters out of dried lemon and orange peels, and it's the highest source I know of vitamin C. It's totally delicious, totally cool, and very, very satisfying.
I wonder if you can use a lemon oil, like an essential oil.
I don't know if the essential oil carries all the vitamin C's and bioflavonoids that the peel does. And the aspect here is that you want it to be really bitter, which I know is contained in the pith or the peel.
Right, right. That makes sense. Well, that's fascinating. Okay, good to know. And, and don't worry, people. You can always get the book Radical Metabolism, and it's 25 days of how to improve your metabolism radically. So you can go after this, but we're going to continue to interview Anne Louise because it's so great to hear from the person in person. So, gosh, we're learning so many tips. I know there's a lot here, but you can always get the book. Okay, so that was Restore Your Gallbladder, Detoxifying Bitters, and we talked a little bit about the fat flush drink and so forth. So those are great. All right, the third way is to rebuild your muscles. Now, why do muscles atrophy after 40?
Because after the age of 40, women can lose up to 6 pounds of muscle each decade. And that's just because we become toxic, we're not moving the way we did, we're not regenerating the way we used to, maybe we're not digesting our protein, which is so important for making strong muscles in terms of the amino acids. So there's a whole variety of reasons, but we know that it happens. Ask anybody beyond the age of 40.
Mm-hmm.
So muscles are an innate calorie-burning tissue. I mean, they just work 24/7, so you want to make sure that you've got a lot of lean muscle mass. You can do that certainly with the right kind of exercise, weight resistance. We're all familiar with that. But what I learned, and I'll repeat this again, is that if you use the right kind of coffee that's rich in these antioxidants, the payoff is very significant because you're able to reduce the risk of muscle loss, which I think is just tremendously important, and that's because of the chlorogenic acid.
Fascinating. Now, you're brewing this or cold pressing this coffee or hot pressing. How are you doing the coffee?
Well, you would be pressing it. You'll get the coffee pods. You kind of press it yourself. And it's chosen from all of the areas of the country that are the highest altitude, which has the highest amount of amino acids. So they source from all the best crops, so to speak, the peak of the crops from, I guess they go to Kenya and to Colombia, Brazil, Ethiopia, they're all over the world. And you want the coffee that has maybe 10 times more chlorogenic acid than the standard amount.
Is that the amino acid you're speaking about?
No, it's the chlorogenic acid, which is a polyphenol or bioflavonoid antioxidant, which makes coffee the highest antioxidant food that I know of. So it's actually an antioxidant.
People think that it usually causes more oxidative stress, but it doesn't. I wasn't familiar that coffee had amino acids, does it?
No, it doesn't, but this chlorogenic acid, it's really its secret weapon. And this is the major compound that will signal your body to take those amino acids out of your fat and burn them for fuel. And that's profoundly effective for weight loss. I mean, coffee is so wonderful to drink in the morning if you tolerate coffee, although this company will have a caffeine-free decaffeinated brew, I think, very shortly. But you can also use this as a therapy in terms of a coffee enema, which will help your body dump bile. So that's another way of taking in this beautiful brew.
Interesting. So rebuilding your muscles, of course, muscles are the fat loss center of the body because they're constantly regenerating and burning fat, but they tend to decrease because we don't have, well, it's just nature, it's age.
We're not moving. You know, a lot of it is just we're not moving. We're so sedentary, Lisa Gar, and you know that as well as I in this day and age. We're sitting in front of computers. We're in our wonderful cars. So it's especially beneficial to have or to build better muscles after the age of 40. To drink the right kind of coffee, number one, will help that more so than I've seen in any other food. And make sure you're getting sufficient amount of amino acids, whether it's in a vegan source or an animal source.
It's the best news ever because so many people tell me, don't drink your coffee, and I can't stop. So that's my friend. All right.
That is good news indeed.
I think I'm just the body type that is naturally alkaline, and I do need the acidity in the morning to balance out the alkalinity. I don't know where I learned that, but it seems to work. Okay. But I always do need to balance it with some type of a protein, and that it helps, and I other places have figured that out as well. So I do the oils with the ghee and the cinnamon. That's my coffee. All right, repairing your gut, leaky gut. Tell us about that from your perspective.
Yeah, that's such a biggie, and I know we're all aware of how important the gut is in terms of immunity. Over 75% of your immune system and the receptors are located in the gut. So making sure that your gut is functioning properly is not just important for your mind and your brain, but also for your weight, because there's certain bacteria that can enhance weight loss and others that truly make you fat. And I think Nature, years ago, the journal Nature, really uncovered that piece of information. So to me, probiotics, which actually feed the gut, I think should be considered an organ. They're just as important as your liver, as your heart, and as your kidney.
Yes, and so probiotics are in the form of, other than taking a probiotic, what's your favorite and what foods?
I like sauerkraut for most people because I think it's easy and I think it's available if you don't want to make it yourself. So we've got sauerkraut. I'm also a big believer in miso.
Interesting. Okay, so sauerkraut, miso. Now, the sauerkraut that you buy from the store, do you make it yourself?
I like Bubby's brand because that seems to actually test out for the probiotics or the cultured organisms.
Do you think making the fermented foods is a good idea?
For most people, yes. I think it's a wonderful idea. It's just a little time-consuming, but I think it's an excellent idea. Anything cultured and fermented is where it's at.
Okay, so, and that's a process, and you can do that on your own and so forth, and there's all sorts of great videos on fermenting your own food.
Yeah, and we've got, I think, some recipes and some tips and tricks in the book in reference to how to do that. The only people that can't tolerate those fermented foods, and there are some of us out there, are those of us that have the DAO enzyme variation. I mean, some of us have a histamine intolerance.
Oh, histamine intolerance.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, I think I am as well, where you get scratches and they get infected very fast?
Well, not necessarily, but it's where you can't tolerate some of the histamine-producing foods, and cultured and fermented and cured foods are one of those foods.
Oh, interesting. Yep, you would know that because the fermented foods don't work for you.
Well, you get terribly bloated. Mm-hmm. I used to get so bloated mm-hmm. and unhappy, and I'm writing about how important fermentation is, representing one of the biggest probiotic companies in the country, and I think you know what I'm who I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. And then find out when I did a 23, no, it was beyond 23andMe. I don't think I found out from there. I did a special genetic testing and found out that I not only had three detox pathways blocked, but am histamine intolerant. And so that has changed everything for the better in terms of my system. So I give you enough options where you don't have to do everything, but there's something that will work for everybody.
Interesting, interesting. Well, I think you figured it out. And, you know, in the last couple of years, have you experienced your health getting better and better and better, or have you also had challenges with your health?
I had a challenge because I had a concussion.
Ooh, what happened?
Well, I disappeared from public life for 3 to 5 years. It may have been longer than that. I think it was 3 to 5 years.
I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a concussion that was a serious concussion through no fault of my own. It was after taking a pain med that I thought was going to help an abrasion in my eye. I was given something by the emergency room doc there and didn't know it was Percocet, which was a narcotic. So I promptly got up in the middle of the night and fainted, and my gosh, my whole life was changed thereafter because I couldn't control the anxiety and the post-traumatic stress because I didn't know that that's what it was, because you don't know what you don't know.
Oh, wow. Yes, I'm very familiar with head injuries and concussions and brain trauma.
Well, one would think that I, of all people, would know that you see somebody or you go to a hyperbaric chamber or something, but of course I did nothing of the sort. I was too busy.
Well, I can't blame you, because you're like in your own world, in your own box, and it's really hard to navigate making those types of decisions when you've had a concussion. Yeah.
I didn't know. No, I just knew that I had a scar down my forehead, you know, 10 stitches later.
Wow.
I was planning a 60th anniversary for my parents, and I didn't want my mother to see the scar, and that was what was uppermost in my mind.
Wow.
I mean, and that's what goes on, and nobody was there to tell me, you know, you really need an MRI, we should see a cranial sacral person.
Mm-hmm.
So it created a whole downward cycle of a domino effect, and we need not go into it, but I can tell you that it was my greatest, greatest lesson in some ways.
Of what?
Well, I learned to be more gentle with myself, to pay attention to things that were going on. I had to detoxify after that from some of the drugs that were given to me by well-meaning doctors. That was a whole experience in and of itself, and I journeyed into the mental health realm. And learned that it's not drugs that we're deficient in, it's truly neurotransmitters. And if there's something wrong with your brain, there are many other ways to fix it other than medication for some of us.
Wow, you are the perfect person to speak about that. Well, you haven't lost any memory, and you really...
No, I've come back even stronger. I'm back in the saddle.
Your recall is incredible. Gosh, we need to talk about neurotransmitters, but after I get to the fifth radical rule, I'm making a note, neurotransmitters. Okay, you should see my papers here. I'm a big fan of, yeah, that you can actually take neurotransmitters now. All right, ADD moment. Reduce your toxic load, radical rule number 5.
Yeah, well... You know, the toxins abound all over the place, and toxins mm-hmm. can gunk up the bile is what goes on, which is your not just your detox fluid, it's the fluid that breaks down fats and hormones and so forth. So you've got to detox the toxic load as much as you can to thin down the bile. It's as simple as that. Whether that's xenoestrogens in your plastics, your pesticides, your personal care units, and as well as doing a radical reboot of your kitchen, because so many of us are still cooking in utensils that are not healthy. So it's not just what you're cooking, it's what you're cooking in that's so important.
Mm, yes. So if you have toxins everywhere, you will most likely have to detox. And you recommended earlier about the cleansing. How long do you cleanse? You mentioned a couple different ways to detoxify, but what is your length of cleansing to really get to the root of it?
Well, I do a little cleansing on a daily basis because I think that detox is a daily affair and it's not a seasonal event anymore.
Mm-hmm. I've just recently adopted this.
I think you've got to, something that tonifies the liver, and there are binders that you take that can bind some of these things. Now, bile acids itself is a binder. I mean, those are considered binders, but you've got the bamboo-type charcoal that's out there. Regular charcoal is a binder. Mm-hmm. I also think fiber is a terrific binder. And certain types of clays, I'm a big fan of certain types of clays.
I have gotten into this thing where I will cleanse every day up until 2 o'clock. And I have a cleanse drink that I drink that has ashwagandha and various different herbs in it that are metal binders. And then I do that every day until 2, and it's really helping with inflammation, brain function, all sorts of things, because I have, you know, my numbers show that I have Hashimoto's and hypothyroidism, but I don't feel like I do, and I don't have any of the symptoms, which is the strangest thing. I still have hair, I still have eyelashes and brows, but I don't have the right numbers in my blood. I don't know why that is, but...
Or you have antibodies.
Correct. My antibodies are high. Mm-hmm. So what would... would cleansing help with something like that? Because I've just started this program.
I think you have to look at whether there's infection involved with this. And
yes.
That's what we talk about in the book. And the infection can come in many different guises. Could it be a parasitic infection, a little blastocystis, a little amoeba, some giardia, or is there a viral component? I think all of those things, hidden infections, really have a lot to do with Hashimoto's, as well as a mouthful of fillings or root canals.
That I don't have, but hidden infections are huge, and they're hard to tell. I mean, you could have them in dormant in your body, and they do wreak havoc on the blood, but they don't manifest, do they?
They don't. Well, they're sneaky. They masquerade as so many other symptoms. So you have to do energy medicine testing, or you have to look under a microscope and see what's floating around and moving around in your blood. There are ways of defining that, but it's really becoming a nutritional and health detective.
It is. It is, yeah. Hidden infections is a big deal these days. You could do a whole book on that.
Lisa, you're right.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about neurotransmitters. And can you actually take neurotransmitters? And these are things like serotonin. What are neurotransmitters?
Well, they're the brain chemicals that make your brain connect with itself and connect with you. So the reality is that, yes, you can take them. You can take them in the form of precursors, amino acids. We know that L-glutamine, for example, is a neurotransmitter. Glycine, in some circles, is one. Taurine, acetylcholine, which is a very important aspect, is a neurotransmitter. Serotonin is a neurotransmitter, and the 5-HTP would be the precursor in terms of that. So I think there are lots of neurotransmitters. My neurotransmitter of choice was actually GABA, and I needed that to keep me calm because I would veer towards nervousness. My mother used to say it was being high-strung, but we now call it anxiety.
GABA is great for anti-anxiety, yes.
I adore GABA. GABA is my best friend.
Yes, I think so, too. And is it you take it before you go to sleep, or how often do you take it?
I take it in the morning and before I go to sleep.
Great, great idea. And just asking how much of the GABA... And is it okay for kids?
I take a brand that is a pharmacologic. It's called PharmaGABA, which I feel just goes into the system a little bit more completely. I think it passes the blood-brain barrier.
Great. And can teenagers take it? A couple of my daughter's friends have issues with anxiety.
Oh, no. I think they can, maybe at a lesser dosage, but I definitely think it would benefit them. And this is the age of anxiety. It would benefit anybody.
So much. Yes, there's a lot of anxiety about going back to school and school and safety and everything. So that's
in the world these days, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really nice. Okay, great. What are some specific things you should throw away out of your kitchen right away?
Aluminum foil.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it can transfer aluminum into your foods, particularly if they're more acidic. So aluminum foil is very malleable, so to speak. It can leach into your foods, and aluminum is not good for your digestion. It can chelate pepsin out of your stomach. It dries the intestines, not good for magnesium, very bad for potassium, or for phosphorus balance, rather.
I have.
So we don't like aluminum, no way. And we don't like copper-lined pots and pans that are shiny and new either.
Right. I wrap my daughter's sandwich in aluminum in foil every day.
Well, then you can just wrap it in
wax paper
and then aluminum.
Buying wax paper. Okay, putting that on the note. What about sweet potatoes? I bake those in aluminum. Wax paper,
oh, you
right?
You can't do that. Get parchment paper.
Parchment and wax paper. Okay, I think I have it. Let's see. Other things you should get out of your kitchen.
Well, Teflon, we don't want anything leaching into your body. So Teflon, I think
pans.
We all know that. Any
right.
of those, we don't like that. And the other thing that you'll discover is that cast iron's not my favorite.
Why?
Because the iron can leach into your body and can build up, and it's not the good kind of iron that your body actually
Mm-mm.
utilizes and needs. So my big deal with everybody is to look in your kitchen and then take a blood test to measure your stored iron. And I'm seeing that all of my people that have these cast iron pots and pans are running a high ferritin level above 100, which is a recipe for disease, problems with the kidneys, the liver, the brain, and degenerative problems like cancer, God forbid, down the line.
Mm. Back to the pots that you cook in, the pans. So, you know, these new copper pans, are you a fan of those as long
no,
as...
No, nothing of copper I'm a fan, or aluminum.
So what do you cook with?
I cook with, it's an enameled-covered iron. So it's a heavy pot and pan that's covered with an enamel covering.
Interesting. I always look for the right kind of pan, and I know the Teflon is bad, and I know that the iron is not good. It's just I've never been able to figure it out. Okay, enameled
well, if you'll see, in the book, because we have a short chapter, but a very critical chapter
okay.
that talks about radicalizing your kitchen. And I'm also liking some of those pots, you know, those earthen pots to cook in, because they actually cook by infrared heat.
Oh, like the...
clay. I'm talking about clay.
Okay. And then what is the quick pot called? The
Instant Pot.
Instapot, yes, Instant Pot. Yeah, those things are good then, huh?
Well, I didn't know this until I did some research with it, because pressure cooking in the old days with the old pressure cookers
right.
cooks food at too high a temperature. But these actually don't. It just about cooks your food by steaming. So I'm now in favor of those, and it breaks down some of the elements and grains and beans that are not good for people.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. And there's also great Instant Pot recipes out there and cookbooks and so forth. What about going through your refrigerator and getting rid of all of the old... salad dressings, mustard, ketchup, all that.
Well, we want organic as much as possible. There are very few salad dressings on the market that are good, and especially for my program, which uses hemp seed oil, you're going to have to do it yourself for at least the 13 days to shore up your reserves. After that, I like the Bragg's dressings. They're just about my favorite on the market.
Mm-hmm. What about the apple cider vinegar?
Yeah, a little apple cider vinegar, a little olive oil. I love all that.
Question from a listener. Does bile break down protein?
No, it breaks down fat.
Okay. It breaks down fat, but is there, does protein inhibit?
Well, let me say this. When you eat bitter foods, your body is triggered to produce hydrochloric acid, which is in your stomach, which also breaks down fat and triggers your body to secrete bile. So maybe there's a circuitous relationship there.
Great, great. Let me ask you, why did you write this book after 30 books and you've written about so many things in the health industry? Why this one?
Because I was frustrated that there were so many of us over the age of 40 that weren't losing weight and doing everything right. There were no to slow losers, people that were having epidemic thyroid problems. Almost all of them had an issue with their gallbladder or sluggish metabolism. So I wanted to give them hope, because a lot of older women, you know, go down swinging and they're losing hope. So I thought it was time to do what nobody else did, to make it a program for those with an over 40 metabolism, where I've included secrets that work even better for those in their 20s and 30s.
That's fascinating. I know. I mean, you're speaking my language here. And that's right, where you're there, stubborn weight loss and doing everything right and getting all of the organics and everything and still having that issue with the muscle metabolism and the failing muscles. It's a really interesting point. So you're saying that this is definitely gallbladder. You said there's a test that you can take to see if you have...
You've got to ask the doctor. It's not normally given, but I give you some of those tests. You know, I lay out the liver enzymes that, if high, really point to a gallbladder issue. But generally, you know whether you have aches and pains in that particular body region where the gallbladder is located. And if you've got clay-colored or very light-colored stools, that's a definite tip-off.
Of having a...
Lack of bile.
Lack of bile flow. Okay, that's the biggest thing to look out for. Is there anything that you can tell when with autoimmune disease, there is a high percentage that a secondary autoimmune disease is coming. Can you tell us why that's the case and how to prevent that?
You know, I think it's because all of your body systems are kind of under
attack,
overwhelmed and underperforming, quite frankly. And I don't like to think that the body is attacking itself. I think we have to realize that it could be an infection attacking your body, be that a virus or a parasite. So you have to identify what those are. I mean, you can read a typical blood test, or I can help one read one. And we look at your CBC. We find out what your eosinophils are. There are certain telltale signs that if you're geared toward looking, you know, beneath the hood and underneath the hood, you can tell exactly what's going on in the system.
Do you have people that help and coach people with these specific types of weight loss protocols?
Well, we've got nutritionists that kind of work alongside me, and of course I still take private clients, so I work myself directly with people. But yeah, I work with a network of individuals, and there's a lot that people can learn in my Inner Circle, which is a membership group for something like $40 a month, where I answer individual questions and help people all the time with their individual personalized concerns.
Interesting. So you can answer individual questions via email, or how does that work?
Well, they go online at the Inner Circle. You can get that information, of course, on my website, which is annlouise.com. They join the Inner Circle, and we enroll them in a Facebook group, and that's where all the action takes place. It's a private group by membership only.
Fantastic. That's really great, because I'm sure everybody is different. So
that's the point, and it's not one program, one diet, one system, one vitamin, one mineral that works for everybody. It's really knowing what works for you as an individual, a very unique one at that.
Yes. Well, it addresses the epidemic of the obesity epidemic, and probably over, what is the statistic, over a third of Americans are obese?
It's obese, and just about two-thirds are overweight. So, I mean, it's getting up there. So we've got to look in different places, and that's what radical metabolism does. It looks under the hood in very different areas, and looking at your thyroid, your gallbladder, your lack of bile, issues involving your immunity, all of it, I think, is connected in some sort of way.
Okay, and now in terms of immune system, is there anything that you can do to help the immune system not attack itself and to function as a regular immune system?
You've got to fortify. I'm a big believer in fortifying two particular glands, which I believe are very immunologically connected. One of them is the thymus, the other is the spleen. You can take herbs that tonify the spleen and the thymus, or take some of the glandulars that are out there, which is what I do on a daily basis.
Which ones do you take, the glandulars?
Standard process Thymex,
and
there's also a desiccated spleen that I take.
Interesting, and they're both standard process?
They're the ones that I've used for eons and eons,
That's a great brand. And your nutritionists, they help people maybe on a day-to-day basis or on a weekly basis? Or
someone I think on a weekly basis, more likely, especially if they take some of our diagnostic tests, whether it's a tissue mineral analysis, whether it's a poop test for GI function, or even hormones.
And you can get the results sent back to the nutritionists?
They can be sent through an affiliation with my office to one of our nutritionists, yes.
That is a great idea. So this is really personalized medicine.
It's personalized medicine because that's the only kind of medicine there is in this day and age, don't you think, Lisa?
I do. I absolutely do. I'm a big fan because you have to educate people first, which is what you've done through your books, and then you've got to actually make the practical application happen of personal empowerment around health. You have to learn.
You
about
do, and the problem is, here's the problem, because I've been doing this for many years. There's a lot more confusion out there. People are conflicted, they're confused, they don't know who to believe. I would go to somebody who's older and perhaps just a little wiser with real experience.
Yes, but it's the whole point of medicine now is if you go to a doctor that isn't trained in functional medicine, you're more than likely going to get something, puts a Band-Aid or a Band-Aid on the symptom. And now you have to be in this way of really learning about your body, learning about how it works, keep up with all the latest information that comes out about health, and then personally go through your own health regime and change and see how your body changes. It is possible. I'm sure you've seen people reverse all sorts of illnesses.
Well, they have, but it's like taking responsibility, not being overwhelmed because everybody's out there trying to make a living, taking care of their families, they're juggling work and career and home life. So it can be a little, you know, daunting to say the least. It's good if you have a health coach that can help you navigate these very troubled waters.
I mean, you've been through everything. You've been with Pritikin, I think I remember.
Yeah, I have.
In the beginning, you've seen it all. What are some of the things that you've seen consistently work throughout all the different organizations that you've been involved with?
What I consistently see works is a diet of untainted fruits and vegetables, moderate on the fruits, heavy on the vegetables, moderate amount of protein, the right kind of oils and essential fatty acids especially, from the omega-6s, the omega-9s, the omega-3s, the omega-7s.
And do you think a vegetarian diet is better, or are you okay?
I don't think there's one diet that works for everybody, and
right.
I wrote a book called Your Body Knows Best to really analyze that. I think you take a lot into consideration. I once tried to be a vegan. I lost my hair and lost my skin tone. It wasn't working for a AAA personality like me.
I understand. That's very interesting. I've always wondered if there's association with personality typing and food.
Well, according to George Watson in the 1970s, whom I followed, yes, indeed. I believe he was a PhD, and he talked about the different metabolic and oxidation rates based on psychology and types. So there's a lot to be said for that.
Ah, great. You mentioned that this book has recipes in it, and I am...
Yum! The best recipes ever.
Radical recipes. What are some of your favorites?
Well, I'm a really big believer, and I love that drink in the morning because that energy blaster is one of my favorites because mm-hmm. I decided to make it even more blastful or blasting or enabling it to really blast the fat off by increasing the vitamin C with those dried bitter peels.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been just a blessing because it's so good for people that don't like to take a lot of vitamins, including high doses of vitamin C, which so many of us need in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely one of my favorites. We also have some wonderful marinades in there, some salad dressings that I like, some delicious desserts.
I like this one, the High Five Juice, the PM High Five Juice.
Well, that's the PM one is my very favorite of all. I like that, but I truly like the watercress soup. If you ask me, and I'm looking in my mind's eye now, the watercress soup I adore.
Okay, what is that one?
Well, it's the watercress soup that you use on our four-day plan, which uses watercress, a number of other vegetables, and it's maybe a little bit of bone broth, and it's
mm-hmm.
just totally, totally delightful. And if you don't use bone broth, you can use a vegetarian broth. But it will detoxify you because watercress is a bitter, an underused bitter, to be exact.
Mm. You mentioned in a couple of these recipes about the lemon cube. What is a radical lemon cube?
Well, we freeze a lemon with a peel, and we have a cube.
Freeze a lemon with the peel. So you cut it in a cube and then freeze it?
You do something like that in the book, yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. And then, so I'm just the ingredients on that High Five Juice I was mentioning is it's jicama, peeled and chopped, cucumber, apple, cored, remove the seeds, peel intact, celery, ginger, and this lemon cube. And it's you have to thaw the lemon cube.
It's very tasty. And it's not too sweet. I really don't think you should do a lot of juices that are high fruit juices, so this is a high vegetable juice.
Oh, my gosh. It feels very clean.
It's clean. It's detoxifying. It's high in prebiotics for your beneficial, healthy, skinny gut bacteria. It's terrific because of that jicama.
And this is a PM one, and then there's also the Rise and Shine one, which you mentioned.
The Rise and Shine one. And if you're not a lover of turmeric, you just leave a little turmeric out, but it's also very tasty. It's got some grapefruit because that is a bitter. It's a bitter fruit.
Mmm. Grapefruit is a bitter. Well, all right, and I also love some of the elixirs that you have, which are really great. So you can make your metabolism, you can get it started in the morning. You can do so many things with this. So thank you so much. This is the Radical Metabolism is the name of the book, and it's a powerful new plan to blast fat and reignite your energy in just 21 days. Very, very great idea. And thank you so much for your enormous contribution to the health world, doing this for over 30 years. Yes.
But who's counting? We're going backwards, you and I, Lisa.
Well, don't slip and fall anymore because we need you. Stop that. All right. Thank you so much, Anne Louise Gittleman, the First Lady of Nutrition. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Lisa Garr, and until next time, I invite you to stay aware.